You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last December, Scott Sherman wrote a piece for The Nation magazine entitled Upheaval at the New York Public Library about the NYPL's Central Library Plan, which would involve a massive renovation of its main branch at 42nd Street and 5th Avenue, funded partly by selling off two other Midtown libraries, the Mid-Manhattan branch at 40th Street and the Science, Industry, and Business Library on 34th Street. His article has caused quite a stir, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show to talk about it today, along with Caleb Crane, a former NYPL fellow who writes for The New Yorker and other publications. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Scott, can you explain what the Central Library Plan is and what it means for the 42nd Street Library, which is now called, as I understand it, the Schwarzman Building?
The 42nd Street Library is one of the world's great research libraries, and the Central Library Plan is basically a plan to turn it into a giant internet cafe.
An internet? It sounds to me like they're just going to change it into a regular library with a circulation. They used to have a circulating library, and they got rid of it, and now they're talking about bringing it back.
They want to do a major renovation of the 42nd Street building. Many people who work there feel that that renovation will amount to a mutilation of the building. Underneath the famous Rose Reading Room on the third floor of the library are seven levels of stacks built in 1911 that contain 3 million books. The library, under the Central Library Plan, intends to demolish those seven levels of stacks and to build a library within a library, basically a state-of-the-art computer-oriented circulating library in which there will be a few books, but they are determined to demolish those stacks and gut the building.
Well, they say that those stacks, which go back to 1911, are in serious disrepair. Something has to be done. I mean, we are talking about a 1911 building and one that almost everyone who works there says is deteriorating.
I did 3 months of reporting on this piece. I did 60 interviews. I had many conversations with many executives at the New York Public Library. None of them mentioned that the stacks were in a state of disrepair.
Now, Caleb, you wrote a piece for The New Yorker a few years ago called Twilight of the Books about the decline of book reading among Americans. Have things gotten worse since then?
I haven't kept up with the research, so I don't know whether there are any new statistical studies. I think just observationally, it does seem like people are more interested in their devices than they are in print books. Yeah.
Well, but if they're reading, they're reading, aren't they? And aren't libraries trying to keep up with that? Are libraries offering things for the Kindle?
They are. One of the important things about the Central Library Plan is that the 42nd Street branch is a research library, and the Mid-Manhattan branch across the street and most of the branch libraries are circulating libraries. And those have slightly different missions. And e-books so far are a great new way to consume books, but nobody's really figured out the archival aspect of it. And so it's not really clear how e-books will work with the 42nd Street Library as it was traditionally understood as a research library.
Well, we are talking about a building, Carrere and Hastings, great architects from 1911. But if you walk through it, most of the halls are pretty empty unless there's a lecture going on or the fellows like you are in attendance. It almost feels like a waste of a huge beautiful building.
Well, that's what the library's administration says, Leonard, but that's really not true. The building is full of tourists. Since they renovated the Rose Reading Room a decade ago, the building has been flooded with tourists. And if you walk through the Rose Reading Room any day of the week, most of the seats are full. But part of the library's public relations offensive here is to put out the impression that the library is underutilized. In fact, Anthony Marks, the new president of the New York Public Library, his attitude is we need to open this place up to the masses. But the New York Public Library was always democratic. It is democratic. Anybody could walk into that building and request an original manuscript by Herman Melville or James Joyce. they can't make the argument that it's not democratic. It is democratic.
Well, now they're talking about making some of those research materials available for circulation. So wouldn't that make it even more democratic?
Yeah, it's complicated. I actually they have a pilot program where if you're a sort of vetted researcher, you can check books out of the research library, which you never used to be able to do. I signed up.
Not an original edition of Moby Dick.
Not an original edition of Moby Dick, but a book that they may only have one copy of and may not have any means of getting a replacement for. And I signed up for it. The staff member who took my application was like, "You've gone over to the dark side, Caleb." and it's a great convenience, and you know, it makes it easier to do research if you can bring the books home. But I got my PhD at Columbia, and when I was researching there, it often happened that I'd be looking for a book and it just wasn't there and it couldn't be found and it had probably gone missing years and years ago. And if the NYPL starts, if this pilot program goes forward, that's going to be a question. Also, if you bring a circulation library inside the research library, that will complicate security, I think. Right now, there's a very easy rule. No book is supposed to leave the building, mm-hmm. or rather, there was an easy rule until people like me started signing up for this pilot program. So that's something I worry about.
Most staff members, Leonard, are against this policy of letting books leave the building. For decades, books had to stay inside the building. Now books, as you said, can leave the building. Most staff members are against this. They are worried that the books will be stolen and that they will come back covered in mustard, ketchup, whatever.
Now, a lot of the books are scheduled to leave the building. Where would the books in the stacks that you talked about that are going to be demolished, where would they go? The 3 million books or so?
The New York Public Library Administration is planning on taking... So there are 3 million books in the stacks. If and when the stacks are demolished, most of those books will be taken to a storage facility in Princeton, New Jersey. The Library Administration uniformly insists that books will be available from Princeton in 24 hours. But all of us who use the library know that is simply not true. Right now, it takes up to 5 days to get those books from Princeton to 42nd Street.
The New York Public Library spokesperson says 2 million of those books will remain in the building. Aren't there also stacks behind the library under Bryant Park, which would remain in use?
There are two levels. Under Bryant Park, my understanding is that there are two levels of books. The upper level holds about 1 million books. The bottom level is empty. If they're saying that the 2 million books will stay at 42nd Street, that's news to me.
They on their website yesterday, I looked it up last night, they say that 1.5 million books will be staying at the 42nd Street branch. So they seem to have raised the number overnight.
Well, they sent us a statement that said 2 million. Who knows? My guests are Scott Sherman, who wrote a piece for The Nation magazine called Upheaval at the New York Public Library about the New York Public Library's plans at renovation and closings. Also with us is Caleb Crane, who writes for The New Yorker, among other publications, and is a former NYPL fellow. Do we know how the choices would be made? Which ones would be kept in this branch and which ones would be sent to Princeton or sold off or whatever? I would assume that it would be based on their importance and the frequency of use.
Yeah. Well, I asked, I did my reporting for this piece, Leonard, in the summer. I did the reporting in June, July, and August. The piece ran in December. So I haven't had any recent conversations with Tony Marks, the president. But when I met with him in the summer, I asked him to justify removing the books from the building. I asked him why it was necessary to do this. This is what he told me, quote, "The driver of the idea of a central library plan is that in the back quarter of this iconic building are stacks of books that are rarely used. We can store and get access to those books without having to take the prime space in a prime location in New York City. To the degree that we can make the space available and replace books with people, that's the future of where libraries are going."
Well, what would replace the stacks? Would that space be used for a new circulating library or to replace the Mid-Manhattan Library, which is slated to be sold under this plan?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, they want to create a library within a library. Essentially, they want to gut the stacks and put computers there. The building needs more computers. There's no doubt about it. But there's there are ways to put more computers in that building without demolishing seven levels of stacks built in 1911. For example, on the third floor of the library across from the information desk is a large room with classic American paintings that used to be an exhibition space. That room has tables. That room is empty much of the time. More computers can go in that room. The periodicals room is often empty, etc. There's space for more computers.
What about the Mid-Manhattan Library, which opened in 1970? Is that used a lot? When you were a fellow, did you find yourself going over there?
No, not as a... I mean, again, it's a different kind of a library. It's a circulating library. That's for people to go and check out books. Scholars tend to use books that don't get used very much. And, you know, it's a different... It tends to be a different collection, and also it's maintained differently. But... Going back to what you were saying before, the Central Library plan seems to have a few different components. Like, one is to sell the Mid-Manhattan branch and essentially move it inside where the stacks are currently inside. The other is to sell the Science, Industry, and Business Library and move it inside also. That makes a lot more sense to me from what I understand, that people aren't using that in the way that they planned. But one thing that's interesting is that that, too, was a kind of very grand idea to reconceive the library in 1996. They kind of got ahead of the curve, right? I mean, back then it was thought that CD-ROMs were going to be the future of people who are interested in reading about science, industry, and business. So they'll build this whole new library around this system.
In the old B. Altman's building.
Right, in the old B.
It's
Altman's
building. It's called Sybil, actually.
Sybil, yes. Yes. And it was a very grand idea, but I'm not sure libraries should be bleeding edge. It might make more sense to wait and find out how the digital book is evolving before the library decides to have this grand renovation.
Well, the place where the old books, the regular books, have been kept, the Mid-Manhattan branch, as I said, opened in 1970, it's been described as decrepit. If the NYPL decides to keep it, do we know how much a renovation might cost?
A senior executive of the New York Public Library described to me on the telephone the condition of that library. He called it a dump. And I said, well, it's your job to fix it then. They consider it a dump. The Mid-Manhattan Library is crowded most of the time. People are in and out of there all day long getting books and DVDs, and quite a few staff members at the 42nd Street branch. They're too afraid to speak. They've been beaten down. They've been intimidated. The staff is terrified at the NYPL, and that is a sad thing that I discovered in my reporting. But quite a few staff members there would like to know, if the goal is to demolish the stacks to put more computers in the middle of the building, why not refurbish Mid-Manhattan as a state-of-the-art computer library, or Sybil, which has the new wiring?
Now, Sybil's only been open since 1996. We're already talking about closing it. But you say that most of the employees were afraid to speak for attribution. Why?
I was really struck by this, Leonard. When I started doing my reporting, I was amazed by how much anxiety there was among the staff members of the New York Public Library. Paul LeClair, the president who preceded Tony Marks, he did some terrific things for the library. He did a remarkable makeover of the facade. Paul LeClair presided over the refurbishing of the Rose Reading Room. But he also instituted a culture of fear at the library. It's really unfortunate that professional staff members are afraid to talk to a journalist about the condition of the library. And finally, I said to one of these staff members, what is the source of the fear here? And I was told, one staff member said to me, look, we're afraid of being fired. We're afraid of losing our pensions. We're afraid of being reprimanded by our supervisors. And these are real fears. In the last few years, the library has reduced its staff by a third. And a great many experienced staff members have been pushed into retirement or encouraged to retire.
But I would imagine part of the fear is that the libraries will be underfunded and be forced to close. And I don't know whether that was part of the atmosphere when you were there, Caleb, but I know that I do things at the Brooklyn Public Library. I have a series there. And they're constantly, in the nicest way, asking the people who use the library to give them some money because they're seeing dwindling support. Library hours have been cut back in all the libraries in the city.
Right. It's of course in the library's interest to present a pleasant demeanor and to encourage all the staff members to. But it is interesting that what Scott's pointing out. I didn't do reporting on this, so I don't have personal firsthand experience of it. But that's concerning that a cultural institution would make it difficult to be transparent.
My guests are Caleb Crane, a former New York Public Library fellow who writes for The New Yorker, among other publications, and Scott Sherman, who wrote a piece for The Nation called Upheaval at the New York Public Library. It was published last December, and we're still feeling the repercussions of it. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We are back with our discussion about the current situation or the upcoming situation at the New York Public Library. Scott Sherman wrote an article about it and in The Nation in December under the title Upheaval at the New York Public Library. It involves a massive renovation of the main branch of the 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue branch and the selling off of other libraries. And also with us is Caleb Crane, a former New York Public Library fellow. So we're talking about closing these two libraries, I guess, to save money and then consolidating them in the main branch. But what do we know about what's going on with the Donnell Library on 53rd Street, which was closed in 2008? As I understand, the building was sold to developers for a hotel with the understanding that it would contain a library. Do we know when that branch is going to reopen?
In my reporting, I found a lot of emotion around this issue. The Donnell Library, across from the Museum of Modern Art, was a beloved library. A lot of people adored it. The library administration hatched a plan to sell that library around 2007 to the Orient Express hotel chain. After the recession, after the economic crash of 2008, the hotel chain pulled out of the deal. And so the building has been empty since 2008. Within the last year, the library transferred that contract to two real estate concerns who were going to build private housing on it and build a new library. But that won't happen until 2014 or 2015.
And where are all the books? Have they been moved to another branch?
I'm not sure.
Because that was a major source
many of them,
for people
I think,
who want to write about the arts.
Well, they had a famous children's collection. Many of the books were transferred to 42nd Street.
I think the film collection was – they have a famous 35-millimeter film collection. I think that was moved to LPA, to the Library of Performing Arts at Lincoln Center.
But the people who used that library felt betrayed. They felt angry. The library didn't consult them before they closed it. They simply put a sign on the door saying this library will close.
The library's also gotten rid of its Asian and Middle Eastern collections. What's it done with those, do you know?
Part of what the library wants to do is to move away from a model of being a research library. They have eliminated specialty divisions at 42nd Street. They got rid of their famous Slavic and Baltic division, which was a very big deal in the world of Slavic studies. Vladimir Nabokov worked there. Leon Trotsky worked there. Vaclav Havel and Lech Walesa went there to pay tribute to it. They got rid of that. They got rid of the Middle East and Asia division. At the Performing Arts Library up near Lincoln Center, for decades that library had specialized reference librarians with expertise in subjects, film, dance, music, and most of those positions have been eliminated now. And so for researchers, the New York Public Library is a less attractive destination. You can still strike gold there, but from a research point of view, there's a very evident downward trend.
Fred in Brooklyn left this comment on our show page. While it's natural to feel uneasy about changes to cherished institutions, shouldn't the New York Public Library have the freedom to adapt to changing times? It seems like the guest is taking a stance against change, but the world is moving in a digital direction and the library should be able to make adjustments. And the library is saying that the new 42nd Street circulating library would be the largest in the country.
The response to my article in The Nation has been overwhelmingly positive. A few people have written in to say that I'm overly nostalgic for the old print culture. I'm overly nostalgic for the old stacks at 42nd Street. Well, of course I'm overly nostalgic for print culture. I'm a print journalist. In terms of the library, though, no. I'm asking them to find a middle ground between the old and the new. Removing 3 million books from that building in a renovation that will cost up to $350 million. This is very important to emphasize. This renovation will cost, the renovation of 42nd Street will cost up to $350 million. The library needs to explain to the public in a clear way why that building needs a renovation that will cost up to $350 million. Remember that the New York Public Library system consists of 87 branch libraries and 4 research libraries. Anthony Marks, the president of the library, is not just the president of the 4 research libraries. He is the president of the entire system. In August, I spent half a day with him touring branch libraries in Upper Manhattan. And within the library world in New York City, it's an open secret that the branch libraries are a disgrace. Now, this is not true of all of the branch libraries. If you go to the branch library on Mulberry Street in Soho, you will see the staff sitting in $900 Herman Miller Aeron chairs. You will see cozy reading areas. But if you go to the branches in Harlem or Washington Heights, you will see buildings that are falling down. You will see leaks in the ceilings. A couple of weeks before my article came out, I stopped into the Seward Park branch of the NYPL on East Broadway in the Lower East Side. There was no toilet paper in the bathrooms. The bathrooms were vile. So one of the themes of my piece in The Nation is that if they're going to spend up to $350 million on a renovation of 42nd Street, shouldn't that money go instead to the 87 branch libraries where children can have access to them, where neighborhood residents can access those libraries?
Elizabeth from Manhattan called in to say that she uses the library for every possible reason. It was great to find a job, and they have tremendous workshops. The library itself sent us a statement. The New York Public Library has launched a public engagement process to gather critical input from users, staff, and library stakeholders, as well as to correct misinformation about planning for the future of our libraries. We invite people everywhere to go to nypl.org/yourlibrary to learn about everything from branch programming, pilots, to building updates, and then to submit feedback, questions, and suggestions. The site will be updated regularly as we hear from users with additional ways in which people can participate through meetings, online discussions, and more.
Can I jump in for a second? I canvassed a few of my friends who are researchers who use the library now and asked them what they made of this. And one thing I got back was this kind of mix of regret and resignation, sort of thinking they're not looking forward to having the books moved off site and making it adding a delay to their research, but wondering whether maybe in this new world the library does need to adapt and whether they just have to accept that, you know, they can no longer justify having books taking up space in downtown Manhattan. I'm happy that the library is saying they want an engagement. I think what I would like is for there to be a little more of discussion about this, that this program is exactly what needs to happen, that the library is changing direction, and if this plan goes through, if you make it more difficult for researchers to do work there, there's going to be a certain slippage in the mission of the research library. And I think we need to pause and think about that. When the library closed the Slavic division, Czech literature is something that I'm interested in. And, Václav Havel gave them the first 7 volumes of his collected writings when he visited in 2003. The 8th and final volume was published a few years ago. The New York Public Library doesn't have it.
Where are the other books?
The other books are, I'm not exactly sure where they are now that they've closed
the
Slavic division.
Have they just been integrated into the rest of the collection?
I think some of them are probably just sitting there and you have to go in through a funny way to get them. And some of them are off-site. But they didn't collect the 8th volume is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Probably because there's been a gap in the curatorial side. And I looked at the 3 biggest Czech literary prizes. None of the winners from the past 3 years have been collected by the New York Public Library. So there's a change in direction in the way that they're building the collection.
Dan from Brooklyn asks, how many books are in the Mid-Manhattan branch and the science industry branch, and where will they go?
My understanding is that under the Central Library plan, once the 7 levels of stacks are demolished, that there will be a smallish circulating library at 42nd Street, and they will fold the missions of Sybil and Mid-Manhattan into 42nd Street.
Well, doesn't the 42nd Street Library currently include a children's circulating library?
Yes.
One of the concerns that has been expressed here is that noise levels will go up if this becomes a circulating library. Well, adults make less noise than kids, don't they, generally?
They have those summer concerts in Bryant Park, so I don't know.
The children's library is on the ground floor where the Doro Jewish Division used to be. But again, Tony Marks, the president, is talking about bringing three times as many people into that building. And the building is already fairly crowded now with tourists. So yes, it is worth asking the question of if they transform the place into a giant internet cafe slash museum, how is anybody supposed to get any work done?
The plan was originally announced in 2008, and at that time it was expected to be completed by 2014. You talk about Tony Marks as being a key figure in all of this. Well, he only came on board last year. So has he changed the plan?
He inherited the plan from his predecessor, Paul Leclerc. You know, Marx is an interesting guy, Leonard. He previously
the president of Amherst College.
Right. And before that, he was professor of political science at Columbia. His first book and his dissertation is on the South African freedom movement. He has built his entire reputation on the ideas of racial and economic justice. And I really think Marx needs to be out there arguing for this, not posting material on the website. I think he needs to be out there arguing for this. And he needs to say to the public, before a dollar is spent on 42nd Street, we are going to make the Harlem and Washington Heights branches look as good as the branch in Soho. I think there's really a question of priorities here with the research libraries against the branch libraries that needs to be balanced.
I don't know how you justify allowing the branches in the poor neighborhoods to suffer while pouring money into the better neighborhoods, but that's not unique to the New York Public Library, although I've never understood what the New York Public Library's position as a public-private institution is.
It's tricky.
Who funds it?
Let me say a word about the structure and financing of it. The 87 branch libraries are largely funded by New York City. The four research libraries are mostly funded by private philanthropy plus an endowment of $800 million. This is not a wealthy institution we're talking about. The workforce has been reduced by a third in recent years. The budget for DVDs and books has been cut. They have, as we learned in a front page New York Times article a week or two ago, the New York Public Library is having trouble meeting its pension costs. They really need to explain why 42nd Street needs a $350 million renovation in light of these economic facts.
Well, they are closing down Sybil, but they're still maintaining 42nd Street, the Performing Arts Branch, and Schomburg. And Schomburg is kept in good shape, isn't it?
No, not at all. I went up there to pay a visit to the new director, a very interesting guy called Khalid Mohammed. He is the great-grandson of Elijah Mohammed. If you talk to people who use the Schomburg collection, they will say that the computers are outdated. They will say the building needs a tremendous amount of work. I myself saw holes in the ceilings. When I went to visit Dr. Mohammed in his office, it was a hot summer day in August, and he pointed to a fan next to his desk. And he said, the reason I have this fan here is because the air conditioning doesn't work in my office. So, again, is it money for 42nd Street or is it money for the branches plus the Schomburg in Harlem?
Well, to what extent is the money needed for this renovation dependent on the NYPL trustees in 2008? One of the trustees, Stephen A. Schwartzman, donated $100 million to the library, which gained him the mm-hmm. honor of having the building renamed for him. Was part of that donation meant to be used for the Central Library plan?
They won't discuss what Schwartzman's $100 million is being used for. In terms of the Central Library plan, the city of New York has already provided $100 million. The city will provide another $50 million. And the rest will come from the sale of Sybil and Mid-Manhattan plus private philanthropy.
A few weeks ago, the New York Times reported that the plan had moved a step forward when the NYPL trustees gave their approval for the British architect Norman Foster to proceed with the next stage of the design of the new circulating library.
Right.
Do we have any sense of a start date for that full plan to be put into effect?
You know, I checked their website. I checked NYPL's website for a more detailed accounting of what that New York Times article is trying to say, and I couldn't find a detailed account of what exactly has been told to Foster in terms of moving ahead with this. I read that article as suggesting that they are beginning to demolish the stacks. My understanding is that they are preparing the books in the stacks to be sent to New Jersey, and that Foster has been given the green light to go ahead and begin the process of demolishing the stacks. But I would love it if the library would clarify this for us.
Well, it's interesting to get a great architect working within a building by another great architecture firm, one of the greatest of the turn of the century. We have a link to your article on our show page at WNYC.org. Now, just one more thing. You said this is kind of like an internet cafe, which the library denies. Do you have any reason to think it's going to actually be a cafe serving food and drinks?
I think they just set up a little cafe. One. Yeah, they just opened a cafe. But on the question of the building itself and Carrere and Hastings, the firm that built it, I want to read a quote from a guy called Charles Warren. He's a New York architect. I met him when I was reporting this piece. He knows a lot about the building because he co-wrote a coffee table book about Carrere and Hastings. And this is what he told me, quote, "The building is a machine for reading books in. The stacks are part of what the building is. There's an idea there that the books are in the center and they rise up out of that machine into the reading room to serve the people. It's a whole conception that will be turned on its head by ripping out the stacks. It's a terrible thing to do."
We not only have a link to Scott's article on our show page, we also have a link to the New York Public Library's website where people can comment. My great thanks to Scott Sherman, whose piece in The Nation in December was called Upheaval at the New York Public Library. The upheaval continues. And Caleb Crane, who writes for The New Yorker and other publications and is a former NYPL fellow. They bring them in on once a year, a group, to and allow them to have office space there and use the facilities.
It's a great,
did you write
a
book as a result?
I no, I didn't finish my book, but I got sidetracked into a novel, alas, but I will get back to it someday.
Well, I suspect that someone might want to be inspired to write a novel based on this story. And thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you, Leonard.